Appreciate the singing tonight. Turn to James chapter 4. I've said it before, you can't go into this book and read it honestly without coming away with at least a bloody nose. It'll make you bleed. It'll make you hurt. It's where the rubber meets the road in Christian living, but it's exactly what we need. It's exactly what they needed then. He is writing to people that's been dispersed. He is writing to people who have been so persecuted, they either had to run or die. We know nothing about that persecution. A snicker is about all we get. Or maybe somebody making fun, or them not inviting you to the party that you probably don't need to go to anyway. That's about as much persecution we get in this country. But James is writing to people who are suffering, and yet he says that is not an excuse. It does not give you the right to not do right. It certainly does not give you the right to do wrong. And he is dealing with these verses and in these chapters about our spiritual development. We've looked at several things and suffering and scripture and subordination and speech. And then last time, skill, that's an unusual word, but it's exactly what I believe the Lord meant to through our brother James. And that he talked about wisdom, knowing how to use the knowledge God has given us in a fashion to where we live right and do right, that we do God's will, that skill, that word that I have chosen. This evening, I want to look at this thought. Supplication is a vital part of our spiritual development. He won't start, at least it doesn't seem like, with the thought of prayer, but he sure gets there in a hurry. Look in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? My goodness, what a difference. It's almost as though James is preaching a message and all of a sudden right in the middle of it, he gets mad. I think us preachers can identify with that. But in verse 18 of chapter 3, the verse right before this, he talks about the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Them that make peace, and then he jumps right straight into the fact of fighting and war and killing and arguments and disagreements and lust. But he's heading somewhere. He's going in the right direction. He is jumping here into conflict. Our world is full of conflict. Worldwide conflicts. Nation against nation. Group against group. People against people. Race against race. Social standing against social standing. We have conflict everywhere. There's nothing new. So did they of James' day. And he's talking there about whence come these wars and fightings. Where do they come from? Now you would expect. Now listen, he's talking to saved people. He's not talking to the world. He's not up at the White House. He's not down at Congress. He's not down at the red light district. He's not going to court. He's not whispering or talking through the jail cell to some prisoner. He's talking to the church. He's talking to God's people. And he says, where are all these fightings? Where's all this war? Where's all this disagreement? Where's all this conflict coming from? He wants them to see what's going on, and he wants them to see why it's going on, and he wants them to know how to stop it. From whence come these wars and fightings amongst you? We see here the strife that can divide us. He's talking about wars and fightings. The word wars literally means a war. Like the World War I and II, like the Korean conflict, like the Vietnam situation, like Civil War, where nations are fighting, all-out war, usually an extended amount of time. That's the word he uses talking to Christians. These wars, these battles, I'm talking about the strife that can divide us. He said there's strife among the troops. And he says, the wars and fightings, that word fightings means little skirmishes. Like little kids playing on the playground, one minute they're doing fine and happy and laughing and playing. Next thing, boy, they're fighting again about a toy. They're fussing and fighting, and they're not going to be friends any longer. And 2 seconds later, they're playing again. Well, James talks about those kind of skirmishes, those kind of disagreements, that kind of conflict. The word fightings means a conflict or a controversy. It deals with a smaller matter. So he says, whether it's big or very small, where is it coming from? You know it's coming from the same place as what James is about to tell us. Well, there's a big battle, world war, everybody fighting, or it's a little bitty misunderstanding among two people. It's coming from the... He says, where does it come from? From whence do these wars and fightings come from among you? Come they not hence? Is this not where it comes from? Even of your lusts that war in your members. He says, the reason there's a war out there, the reason there's battles anywhere, is because there's a battle in here. Inside you, inside me, inside them, says our brother James. Where do all the wars come from? Where do all the battles, where do the little disagreements or the big disagreements come from? They come from within. They come even of your lust, your desires. It's here it is. A bunch of people want things their way, and everybody can't get their way. But nobody's willing to give in. Nobody's willing to give up. Nobody's willing to compromise. And we use that word carefully because we don't like that word, but sometimes that's what it takes. That's the right thing. And our brother James is dealing with this fact. He talks about wars that rage on the outside because there's a war raging on the inside. He is saying these things at war in your members. There's a battle inside. If there were not a battle inside, it never would be a battle outside. If everybody wasn't wanting their way, there'd be no disagreement. There'd be no conflict. Whether you're talking about Napoleon wanting to conquer the world or two little kids wanting a lollipop, the same lollipop. He said there's a reason for the battles of strife that divides us, the problems that break us apart if we allow them. It's that same nature in the heart of every person. Hey, he's reminding us that in war, there's two opposing sides. This one wants this, and this one wants that. And neither's willing to give in. And that's why there's a battle. And then he points to, listen to this. Do these battles, are they, not come from hence? Even of your lust, your desires. It doesn't just mean sinful lust. It simply means desire. It really means pleasure. That's what I want. That's my desire. That's what I want. That's what he's saying. The desire that's in you that war in your members. A war or a battle or a disagreement is when two people or two groups do not agree and neither will give in. There's two opposing sides, and James says that's exactly what's going on in your heart. What does he mean? Well, just like there's two opposing sides in a world war, at least two opposing sides. And just like there's two opposing sides fighting that for that one lollipop, he said there's two opposing sides in your heart. There's the new man, and there's the old man. And the new man loves the things of God. Oh, the new man loves the Bible. loves to get in the Word and let the Word get in it, and loves the new truths and the old truths, and loves to get fed by the Holy Spirit. And the new man loves to get on their knees and pray. The new man loves communion with God, and the new man loves to stay right with God. The new man loves the good and holy things of God and be right with God. And the new man loves church and loves God's people. The new man loves the things of God. But the old man loves the things of the world, cares nothing about the things of God, despises the things of God. The old man rather have conflict than cooperation. The old man cares nothing about faith. The old man rather fight than have faith. The old man is the old man. The old man's that old Rick, that old you, and he's still in there. God did not excuse or eradicate or get rid of the old man when we got saved. He just stuffed the new man in beside us. And I've read in study of this message, some people don't agree with that. Well, all I can say is they're dumb as a brick if they don't believe that either. Either that or he ain't saved, or they got somewhere I ain't got yet with the Lord. Because in my heart, in my life, there's a battle going on still. I sense that new man that craves God. I also sense that old man that craves the world. And if you're saved, so do you. And James said, that's what's going on in your lives, Christians. That's why there's disagreements. That's why there's things I'd call a war in times among God's people. The strife that divides us. But then look on and let's just read the verse again. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Yet lust means you desire. And have not, ye kill and desire to have. Huh. He said there's something you really want. The word lust, again, does not have to mean here sinful desire. It just means I want what I want. There's something I desire. There's something you want. And you don't want to give it up. And James says this, it's something you want so bad, you'll go to any length to try to get it. He even talks about killing. Now, I don't think he's talking about literally killing somebody, murdering somebody, literally putting someone to death. I think he talks about what Jesus talked about, how when we hate somebody, we have committed murder in our heart. I believe James is saying there is such a desire in some of you, you will go to any length necessary to get what you want. Even if it hates, if you're hating another Christian, if you're despising another Christian, if you're abusing and misusing another Christian, you want what you want. I said first he talks about a strife that can divide us, but I believe also he talks about a struggle that can defeat us. He said you're struggling inside with what you want. You want it so bad. You'll go to any length it takes to try and get it. He said, you desire, you lust, and you kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. There's a struggle going on. You want it, you want it, you want it, and you can't get it. And you try to get it, and you try to make it happen, and it doesn't work out. There's a struggle, and you're defeated about it. And again now, remember what he's talking about? He's talking about a battle inside where one wants his way, the other wants his way. If you look through these verses, in these three verses, he says either ye or your 12 times. He is trying to show us this is what you're like. This is what you're like, even as saved people. Even believers, you know what that means? We're rotten to the core. We want what we want. We may be saved, but we ain't changed yet. We're not in heaven yet. Nobody's got a glorified body. I can tell by looking at you. James said, there's a conflict, there's a struggle, and if you're not careful, that struggle will defeat you. Hear me, you keep trying to make it work out to where you get your way. You want what you want, and you won't give in. And you go to all kinds of extremes to try and make it happen, and you're doing more damage than good. They were determined to have their way. And listen, he's warning us and them about the danger of battling like that. Hey, in every war, there are casualties. In any conflict, there's a casualty. There's a cost for war. There's a cost for battle. And sometimes it is not worth the effort. Sometimes winning is not good enough. Sometimes winning is not enough. It's not worth the cost to win. James said, you're struggling because you want these things. And you try all this stuff to get it. And after all your effort, you don't have it. It's not working out your way. I have tried to mention, first, a strife that can divide us. Secondly, a struggle that can defeat us. Let me get to the message I don't want to get to tonight. The supplication that can deliver us. Now, I'm not trying to downplay what I've already dealt with, because it means as much as anything I could mention tonight, because it's Scripture. But I don't like it near as much as what I'm going to get about to say. I do like this a whole lot better, so I'm glad I kind of got here. Notice what he says again. Look on in verse 2 again. Let's go back to verse 1 again. Got to get all of it. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, your desires, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. Listen, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. Yet ye have not. Yet ye have not, because you ask not. He said, you're trying to do all this stuff to get your way. Have you not even thought at all about asking God? You're trying to make it happen. You're trying to wish it so. You're willing to go through all kinds of effort and all kinds of stress, and you're wearing yourself out. You're wearing everybody else out around you, trying to get your way. And have you ever thought about asking God the supplication that can deliver us? I'm telling you, he's talking to some people who are bound. He said, you are in a mess because you want your way, and you're trying to get it, and it ain't working. The heart of the matter here is you have not because you ask not. He said, you ought to be praying instead of fussing. You ought to be asking God instead of trying to deal with the people you're dealing with. Could I say it like this? I think this is what James is saying. James is talking about an unnecessary practice, as far as some people think. He said, why aren't you praying? If you want it so much, why don't you ask God for it? I got a question. Why don't we? Why don't we pray about it? Why don't we ask God about it? If we don't pray, it's like us saying, oh, it's not necessary. Unnecessary practice. Just a routine, no need in praying. That's exactly how we act. If there's something we want, and hey, it may be a good thing. If we don't pray about it, we are saying along with these people, it's an unnecessary practice. They were willing to fuss and fight and fume and have a fit, and they never would ask God. They tried to work it out on their own, and it wasn't helping. James said, have you ever thought about asking God? You're so determined to do it your way, and it isn't working. James is talking here about the supplication that can deliver us. He talks about an unnecessary practice. He talks about an unused privilege. James says, talking to God and asking Him, could I just say it the way I want to do stuff for you? What a privilege that is. Boy, I said it again a couple of times today. God, I am amazed that I'm saved, but I am amazed that You ask me and even command me to come and ask of You, to request of You, and to expect to get it. What a privilege it is to get on our knees and take something to God and leave it there. But it's an unused privilege. We don't do it. And James said, you fight and fuss and fume and struggle and try, but you don't ask. An unused privilege. Have they forgotten the promises of God? Well, have we? Where He says He will hear and He will answer. Well, I want to tell you, there's nothing like answering, asking God and getting the answer. There's nothing like hearing from heaven. Listen to what He says. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. You cannot attain, and you fight in war. You have not because you ask not. But listen, He says, some of you ain't even asking. But He doesn't stop there. Verse 3. Ye ask and receive not. Some of you are asking, but you ain't getting. So I say James is talking about an unnecessary practice, an unused privilege, an unanswered petition. Most of them aren't even thinking about praying. Some of them do. But God doesn't give them what they're asking for. They ask and receive not. They ask and they don't get. Well, why? Why? Our brother tells us, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. That word means, part of it means selfishly. You know what that's saying? I want my way. And that's what the problem was to begin with. I want it my way. If I can't make it happen, I want God to make it happen. I want God to make it happen just like I want to. And James said, you can ask all you want to. If it ain't God's will, it ain't going to happen. And part of what He does in our prayer life is teach us we don't always get our way. We don't always get it just like we want to. Hey, it may be His will. He may just hold off from answering just because we ain't got the right attitude, or we want it right now, or we think we deserve it, or whatever the reason. He said, you ask, but you don't receive because you ask amiss. You ask for the wrong reason, wrong motives. Hey, God is not only concerned about what we ask for, He's concerned about why we ask for it. And He goes further, look at the next thought. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. He said, you're asking God. Some of you don't even ask. And some of you do ask and don't get it. Because you're asking for selfish reasons. And some of you are asking and not receiving because your Father knows if He gave it to you, you wouldn't use it rightly. You're asking that you may consume it on your lust. You're on your way to where your will be done. And your will may be the furthest thing from God's will. Your will, what you want, may not be what God wants. Now, there's no doubt some can ask and not get the answer because they're not right. God won't hear the prayer of a Christian that's not right. David said it like this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if there's something wrong in us, He won't hear us. But James is saying there's some who ask and you don't get, because if you did get, you'd misuse it. There's a lot of people who got a raise at work and it ruined them. There are a whole lot of Christians who got a different job, and it ruined their spiritual life. There's a whole lot of times that what seems to be a blessing to us may turn out to be a curse if we don't use it rightly. And James said, there's some that are asking, and God ain't giving it to you. You ought to look toward heaven and say, thank you, God, for not doing for me what I'm asking, because if you do it, it'll ruin me spiritually. But prayer is the key to it all. He said, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Now, he's certainly not discouraging prayer, man alive. Y'all didn't sing for an hour, did you? That's my only hope. That's my only means of survival, as late as this clock says. James is not downing prayer. He's not discouraged. Hey, he's doing the other. He's doing otherwise. He's saying, quit struggling. Hey, your battle is not with the people. Your battle is with you. Your battle is not them. It's you. And he says prayer is the key to all that. Could I just mention a few things? I believe prayer is the key to peace. Oh, boy. I don't know. It's getting older. I don't know if it's problems in the world. I don't know if it's circumstances. I don't know if it's the devil. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the difference is. But it sure does seem like to me, a lot of us, including me, are under a more severe attack from the hell than ever before. And I have found and I am finding, and the Lord is making me learn again, that the way to get peace in my heart in a very troubled world, in a very stressful world, in a world full of war and fighting, just like James talks about, is to get on my face before Him. The way to get peace is to go before the Lord. He said, the God of peace. He even titled Himself. One of my names, says God, is a God of peace. Remember what Jesus said? My peace give I unto thee. He said the kind of peace I've got, you can have. The peace that lets you sleep in the storm. The peace that it lets you hear all kinds of bad things about you, and it may break you and it may make you weep, but it doesn't stop you from doing the Father's will, that kind of peace. That's the kind of peace I want to give to you. The psalmist said it like this, I sought the Lord and He heard me. I sought the Lord and He heard me. That's talking about praying. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. When we're burdened, we need to learn how to take it to the Lord and leave it there. James said, you're doing all this stuff and it ain't working. And you're driving yourself buggy and you're driving everybody else buggy and it ain't working. Go to God with it. I believe peace comes by prayer. Prayer is the key to peace. I believe prayer is the key to pleasure. That's the word we try to be very careful of. Talk about pleasure. You got to talk about bad stuff when you talk about pleasure. You got to be talking about sinful. You got to be talking about sinful stuff when you use the word pleasure. Oh, no. I want to tell you the best pleasure on earth is to be right with God. Serve Him, love Him, yield to Him, doing His will. You want to talk about pleasure. You want to talk about being happy. You want to talk about contentment. I'm telling you, serving Him brings pleasure. The devil will offer all kinds of pleasure, but nothing like what you can get by going to God. I said this not long after I got saved. I didn't know how to word it, and I don't know much more about it now. Somebody asked me, what do you Christians do to have fun? And it was the first time I'd even been confronted with that question. I didn't know how to answer that. And the Lord gave me this. I believe it. I said, we don't have to do anything. Just living is fun for the Christian. And that can still be true even in our day. Prayer is the key to peace and pleasure. I believe it also is the key to protection. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. We're in a world of trouble. Our world's coming unglued. Your world's coming unglued. The devil wants to trip you up and me. He throws everything at us. I'm trying to deal with that in the other messages. One of the keys. Hey, Jesus said it. I guess he ought to know. Watch. You keep your eyes open for him, but then you pray. Protection. We are not exempt from anything this world's got to throw at us. We're not exempt from anything the devil's got, except for hell. But the key to that protection that we need is an active prayer life. James said, quit fighting, quit fussing, quit trying, and talk to God about it. Prayer is the key to peace and pleasure and protection. I believe it's the key to purity. I said it before, the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He also said, I have put myself in the Word of God, and I put the Word of God in me, that I might not sin against Him. And he's talking about spending time with the Lord, talking to God, letting God talk to Him, hearing from heaven. Boy, I want to tell you, if you want to live, hey, if you want to live pure, and we ought to, somebody needs to have a light today. Somebody needs to be different. Someone needs to live pure in an unpure, impure, ungodly, wicked world. And the key to it is prayer. Asking God. You can't pray long without God speaking to your heart and showing you something. Turning the light on. I heard Brother B.R. Lakin said, I've said it before. He said, you can preach through a dirty heart. You can sing through a dirty heart. You can witness through a dirty heart, but he said you won't pray through a dirty heart, and that's right. It won't be long. You talk to, hey, you really talk to him. It won't be long. If there's anything in there, he'll show you. And I'm glad for that. The key to purity is to pray. The key to problems is to pray. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify me. He said, when you're in trouble, call on me. And when it's over, you look back and say, thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. You did that. You did that. I couldn't, but you did. That comes through prayer. I'm talking about, unless you're missing it, James and me agree. We both say we need to pray. Supplication is what helps us to be spiritually mature. Prayer is the key to patience. Oh, boy. Psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. You know what that means? He'd been calling the Lord. I waited patiently unto the Lord, and he inclined unto me. He finally began to move. I waited patiently. I waited. That means more than 5 minutes, probably. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And prayer is the key to patience. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. I've said it before. That means to keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. Not just one knock, not just one moment of seeking. Not just asking once. It means continually. Until he says no, or until he grants it. Keep asking. It's the key to patience. Prayer is the key to people. Now, James is not saying here, abandon your convictions. Let everybody live however they want to. If somebody's doing wrong, don't worry about it. He's not saying that by these fightings and wars and all that. What he's saying is you quit trying to work it out yourself and go to God with them. It is prayer is the key to people. I've got some old friends I'm still praying for. They won't listen to me. Last time I tried to really witness to one of them, he cursed me at me. He didn't curse at me, but he cursed in the conversation and said something I don't even like thinking about. The other one said something I wouldn't repeat. I probably can't do a lot more with them, but I can pray. There's people who need help from God. There's people who need to be changed. There's people not doing right. There's people who have wronged you. Pray about it. Pray about it. Let God get them. Sick God on them. And I don't mean that near as a revengeful way as my attitude sounded. I'm just saying they need help. Tell God about it. James said, you're doing all this fighting and fuming and working and discussing and trying on your own and it ain't working. Go to God. Huh? Prayer is the key to power. It puts us in contact with the God who created the universe. Poof. And it didn't even tire him out. It didn't even strain him. He didn't have to sit down. He didn't have to take a vacation. It's the God who made the sun come up. He's the God who made the snow fall. He's the God right now that's keeping all the atoms from exploding. He's him to all things consist, and it doesn't even tire him out. And that's the God you're connecting with when you pray. Hey, why in the world would we try on our own when we got a God like that to ask of and expect and receive? James said, quit trying. He also says later on, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The disciples said, why could we not cast them out? They'd done a lot of unusual things through the power of God. But here comes a hard case. They tried to cast a demon out. The demon more or less laughed at them. Jesus came and went, boop, and he was gone. And the disciples all along, they didn't want anybody here. Why couldn't we do that? And he said, because of your lack of faith. Where do we get faith from God? I'm telling you, prayer connects us to the God of power. Wisest use of time any day of our lives is prayer. I believe that. I don't exercise it like I ought to. And I ask the Lord, why in the world do I not? James says, you're trying a whole lot on your own and it ain't working out. Go to God with it. May we become a people of prayer. May we get in touch with our limitless God. It's probably something you ought to be praying about tonight if you aren't. There's probably something burdening you that you have been praying about, but maybe you've been trying too much on your own. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. But I know this. He can, and I can't. So I need to ask him. Let's stand together. You listened well.